Sunday mornings. So, there you go. We are continuing our series on the Aaronic blessing. I've been really blessed by the studies of this, and I hope that it comes across to you because, you know, so many times pastors try to find a closing to the service or whatever, and they'll have a benediction. I never realized how important it is until I started studying on this. And this is a great indication that what I want to bring to you through these messages is this blessing was given to the children of Israel, but it is truly for us as God's people today. So remembering that we looked at Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27, we're going to focus tonight on John chapter 1, verse 18, but just let me read where we're starting here, that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, thus you shall bless the people of Israel, and you shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, so they shall put my name on the people of Israel, and I will bless them. It's important to know that this is a command of God. As we pointed out last time, there was a stairway that got on the bottom floor is the command. It's the basis of everything. And from there, we went to God's promise and to God's grace and God's peace and God's name. So tonight, we're going to look at how Christ is the real basis of the blessing for us and look how he fulfills each one of those areas and to bring us God's blessing and make this very much relevant for today. Let's look to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word wherever it is, and this passage in Numbers has been used and probably abused over the years. Truly, Lord, as we just look at it in the contents that you commanded, you promised, and you gave reason for it to put your name upon the people of God. And so as we come to you tonight, we pray that as we consider our Lord Jesus Christ, the real basis of how we can just be in tune to this blessing, not just from a covenant standpoint, but the very fact that because Jesus Christ brings us this blessing, we pray that you would give us grace to not just understand it, but to adore him all the more, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and to really receive the blessing that is from him. So we give you thanks for this time, but we always stand in need every time we open your word, Lord, for the power and help of your Holy Spirit. And so we pray for your help in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Quite frankly, when I opened up this Aaronic blessing, I'm remembered of a famous preacher by the name of Derek Thomas. We were at a meeting in Mississippi for a bunch of preachers. And he spoke on the Aaronic blessing. And one of the things he brought out about the Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, is because the Lord Jesus Christ suffered the opposite. Instead of blessing, he was cursed by God. Instead of keeping him, he was let go. He suffered death. Instead of the Lord lifting up making his face to shine upon him, the Lord looked upon him in judgment. Instead of being gracious, the Lord judged him. Instead of the Lord lifting up his countenance upon him and giving him peace, he felt distress and even in his death. I always like that. I always think of that whenever I read the blessing or bring the blessing to you on Sundays. I think of that we have those blessings because Christ suffered just the opposite. It's good for us to remember that it's not just a saying, but God truly has blessed us and provided this for us because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to focus in on John chapter 1, verse 18. It's a very simple verse, probably one that you can memorize before you go home. You hear me repeat it enough, maybe you will memorize it before you go home. It's good to memorize God's word. So it says, no one has seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. As we pointed out, it's important to see God's face or really have a sense of God's face, even though we have never seen God's face, literally, but we see what God, he says, no one has seen God, but the only true God who is at the Father's side, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has made him known. So in Christ, we want to see how God's promise or command has been given, how his promise has been given, his grace is given, his peace is given, and God's name. It's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we hear this Aaronic blessing, we think, well, we can think, as I just pointed out, think about how we receive because Jesus received the opposite. We receive the blessing because he received the opposite. But tonight I want to look at how he is the fulfillment of each part of this. So first of all, let's look at God's command to bless when he spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, you shall bless the people of Israel and you shall say to them. Okay, he commanded, he has this command for a blessing to go on God's people. Listen to this words that the Lord Jesus Christ says, I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise them up again at the last day. Okay, so the command. Jesus said, the Father sent me. The Father sent the Son into the world. Just as he commanded this blessing to go out, so he commanded his Son to come into the world to be a blessing, to bless us by securing our salvation for us. So, and it says in John 15, no longer I call you servants. A servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all I have known, I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. So just as Aaron and his sons were to bring this blessing to God's people, to pass along what God had said, so the Lord Jesus Christ has told us in his word. So he's not calling us servants, he's calling us friends, because he's made known to us. So here we are, the command of God. He says in John 17, I have manifested your name to the people whom you have given me. In John chapter 10, he says, the sheep hears the voice of the shepherd, and he calls his sheep by name. Here he comes. He's by command. He's been given the sheep. He is the shepherd of the sheep. And he says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. He says, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. This is the opening the door for great blessings to us, because God commanded his Son to step into this world to bring us the word of God. He says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one is able to snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. No one has seen God. Okay? The only God who is at the Father's side, Jesus, he has made him known. So this first part of the blessing from the command of God, Jesus steps into the world to deliver us, to bring us the true blessings from God. Secondly, God's promise we look at in verse 24 of Numbers chapter 6, when he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. I just couldn't help but go with this when I was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you and keep you. What did Jesus say in John 10, verse 10? You probably have memorized that. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Yeah. The Lord bless you. Isn't that a blessing to have life from him and to have abundant life from him, truly to walk with him? In John 6, and when... in John 6, Jesus was teaching, and all of a sudden, people started to walk away. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, are you going away as well? Listen to what Peter says. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Isn't that good? I mean, So the Lord bless you and keep you. Didn't the Lord bless his people? And doesn't he bless us with the words of eternal life? It says, even as it says in Matthew chapter 11, that the things are hidden from the wise and prudent, but delivered unto babes. He says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So not only has he blessed us with life, not only has he blessed us by saving us from our sin, but he is the one who reveals truth to us. He is in charge of revealing truth to us. Isn't that good? So the Lord bless you and keep you. In John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And in John 15, no, their greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. The Lord bless you and keep you. Jesus has made him known to us. We look at God's grace. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. That's an easy one to find in John chapter 1 when it says in verses 16 and 17, "For the fullness of, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." He says, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. Lots of some examples of this. It says, you know, the word in Numbers says, "The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you." I want to show you some examples of Jesus' face shining on people and being gracious to them. Remember the woman that had the issue of blood, and she came to Jesus and said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed." Remember he's surrounded by a crowd, and he says to his disciples, says, "Who touched me?" Peter says, "What do you mean, who touched you? You're in a crowd, you know?" He says, "But I felt virtue go from me. There's something went out from me, you know?" And the woman comes forward. She's scared because she has an issue of blood, so she should be free from any contact with any people. But she's there in the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment. And so she steps forward, and she tells her story. Now watch this. Jesus, just as the Father caused his face to shine upon us, his face did shine upon her because he said to her, "Take heart, my daughter, your faith has made you well." Isn't that precious? Isn't that grace? The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. I like the story in Mark chapter 10 when there's a fellow by the name of Bartimaeus, or I heard when in the deep south they call him Bartimaeus. I don't know if it would, you know, I think by the King James, you know, the King James, one thing I like about the King James Version, it has the pronunciation. Everything is phonetic spelling, so you don't, so if you go by that. But anyway, you might call him Bartimaeus or Bartimaeus. Regardless, he was a blind man, and Jesus was coming by, and he starts yelling, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Okay? And the people said, "Shut up." And finally, when Jesus gets near, he says, "Call that man here." So they brought him over to him. Okay? Jesus' face was shining upon him in a very positive way. "Call the man over here." And blind Bartimaeus comes over, and he says to him, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do?" He says, "Restore my sight." And Jesus says, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and he followed him on the way. Isn't that precious? He just looked upon him, his face shone, the grace of God shone through as he has mercy on this blind man. There's a scene in John chapter 1 I want to get to because this is a precious sight of ours, and when we think about God calling each one of us individually. Remember John chapter 1 talks about the various disciples going and fetching someone else. They're calling, "Come and see." Okay, primarily when Philip found Nathanael, he said to him, "We have found him whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Okay, and Philip said, "Well, come and see." And by the way, this account is the greatest reason why you invite people to church. Tell them what God is doing in the church, and they say, "Well, yeah, well, we'll just come and see." That's the prospect, okay? Just come and see. So he comes to Jesus, and Jesus saw Nathanael coming to, and said of him, "Behold an Israelite in whom there is no deceit," or as the King James says, "there's no guile." Guile is deceit because you deceive yourself, because guile says you have sin and you're hiding it. Okay, so you're being deceitful when you say you have no sin. So hold on to that thought, because Nathanael says to him, okay, because he evidently heard Jesus say that of him, Nathanael says to him, "Well, how do you know me? How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now, if we're just going to look at that scene and just say, well, he saw, what's the big deal? He saw him under the fig tree. Something was going on under the fig tree. Just put it together. Jesus says, a man in whom there is no guile, in other words, he's honest about his sin. Now, the deduction is this, Yeah, I could be out in left field. I don't think so, but listen to this. The deduction is that when Philip was under the fig tree, he was confessing his sins to God. And nobody would know that but God himself, right? So he was confessing his sins to God, and Jesus says, before Philip called you, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. Something was happening under that fig tree that's important, because the next words out of Nathanael's mouth is this: Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Now, if it had just been seeing him, that's not a big deal. But if he knows what was going on under that fig tree, and Jesus knows what was going on under that fig tree, as the Son of God, he knows what was going on. So the deduction is this: because Jesus said he's a man without guile, without deceit. And so he was being honest with God and confessing his sins. And so Jesus recognized that. That's why he said there's no guile. He's open and honest about his sin. And as he's open and honest about his sin, Jesus says, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Did he lift up his countenance upon, or did he make his face to shine upon Nathanael? Indeed, he did. And was he gracious to him? Pointed out that I saw you. That's a sign of that I saw you, I heard you, I know about you. So the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. No one has seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. When we talk about the Lord lifting up his countenance upon us and giving us peace, we have the example of peace when the disciples were told to go across the lake. You know, they were rowing and rowing and rowing. The windstorm rose up and the waves were beating in the boat, and the boat was ready to capsize, so they thought. But Jesus was in the stern asleep. They woke him up and said, Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? First of all, he told them to go to the other side. So he commanded them to go to the other side. And so they were in good shape, because they were doing what he commanded them to do. But he woke up. And he rebuked the wind and the wave, said, Peace be still. He brought peace to them. He lifted up his countenance upon them, and gave them peace, and said to them, Why are you so afraid? Do you have no faith? When they were filled with one another, with great fear, they said to one another, Even the wind and the waves obey him. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. When we're in a situation that we need him, he lifts up his countenance upon us as we call upon him and gives us peace. There was a man in the book of Luke. He's a wild Gadarene. He went by the name of Legion, because there were many devils that filled him. And Jesus looked upon him and gave him peace. How did it look? We stepped out in the land, and there was this man who was filled with many demons, and he didn't wear any clothes. He would rip them off when he had them on, and they tried to chain him. They couldn't chain him. He lived in the graveyard. And so he's like a wild man, right? And so Jesus commands the unclean spirit to come out of him, and we know the story that they went into the hogs on the other side, and the hogs ran down the mountain into the sea and were killed. But what I like about that is when the people looked around, the next thing, the man is fully clothed and in his right mind and at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say that Jesus lifted up his countenance upon him and gave him peace. Would you say that? Yeah. Jesus can take the wildest moments and the hardest times and do something that we can never do. He's fully clothed in his right mind. And the people were afraid of that. And then as Jesus was leaving, he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, No, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city what Jesus had done for him. You think so? God had given him peace when he was a man who knew no peace at all. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. No one has ever seen God, the only true God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. And the blessing of God's name. When they put my name upon the people of Israel, I will bless them. I just thought about so many things that Jesus used about his name. John 14 and verse 13, he says, whenever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Have you ever heard people abuse that? Oh, every time. In the name of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're doing it under his authority, under his power, under we're submitting to him. It's not just saying, in the name of Jesus. We do like to pray in Jesus' name just to recognize the only way to the Father is through the Son, right? It's the only way by we come through to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in Matthew chapter 18, verse 5, it says, whoever receives this child in my name receives me. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Again, it's not just putting the name out there and saying we're meeting in Jesus' name. We're falling under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, under submitting to him, and we want to honor him in all that we do. But listen to John 14 and verse 26. He says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So, the blessing puts the name of God on the people. We have the name of God as we fall into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I'm getting at in all these is Moses was given the command of God, speak to Aaron and his son, so the Lord Jesus Christ stepped in at the command of God to come into this world and to bring a blessing to his people. Also, when he promised, he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord Jesus Christ brought a blessing and a safety and a protection among us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. He looks gracious to us because he brings the blessings of God, and the blessings of God come to us, flow through him. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. He looks to us and gives us peace. And in doing so, we have the name of God upon us as we follow the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I thought about this because in the blessing that we have, the Lord's lifting up his face upon us and causing his face to shine upon us. The face of God is important. And we see how Jesus looked to people and their need and saw them and saw us in our need. So I thought about this and said, okay, Philip said to Jesus one day, he said, just show us the Father. Now that'll be sufficient. Just show us the Father. What did Jesus say? Have I been so long with you and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. All the blessings of the Abrahamic blessing are ours because God has made himself known through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are richly blessed. Whenever we hear that blessing, we think of it two ways. Because Jesus suffered, a feeling having just the opposite, we get the blessing. Because Jesus came and fulfilled every aspect of that blessing for us, we have the blessing because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good. I have more to come on the Abrahamic blessing. Lord willing, next week we'll look at how the gospel fills that blessing as well. Right now, let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us today. Thank you for the thoughts about our Lord Jesus Christ in this Abrahamic blessing. Thank you for even giving that blessing and how we long for it, Lord, in every aspect of it. But how we thank you for the surety of it is found in Jesus Christ our Lord, just as he was here on earth, just as he proclaimed your grace, that he is the one from whom we have received grace upon grace, as he brought it to us at your command. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep in